Hey, we're going to start it off early today, but as our Tulane Tuesday segment is brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next day delivery throughout South Louisiana. The head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, Coach John Summerall. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate y'all having me on. Hope y'all are doing well.
Doing well, Coach. Win this last Saturday against Tulsa, and Bobby and I want to know, maybe if you can straighten this out, this Golden Tornado Hurricane team, how'd Tulsa get that nickname?
You know what? I'm not sure. That's a great question.
I guess, no hurricanes in Tulsa.
No, well, it was two weather teams, the Green Wave versus the Golden Hurricane on Saturday. So
yeah.
Not often that you get two games between two weather-type teams.
Coach, you had to be pleased in coming off of the loss to Ole Miss. Your team bounced back in a big way. And he had a big game against South Alabama. But when you score three touchdowns, man, everybody knows about you. So Javon Gordon, man, everybody kind of heard about him. Now, he had a really good game against – I think he rushed for 80 yards in that football game against South Alabama, but he didn't score no touchdowns. This past week, scores three touchdowns. First time I see him run, Coach, and I'm around a lot of track people, I could see in his gait, he was a track sprinter somewhere in Georgia, in high school, junior high school, whatever. Just by his gait, the way he runs, kind of tell us a little bit about Javon and the recruitment of him. I know one thing, Georgia got a lot of players come out of that state. It's a heavily populated state, and so you got population, you got players. But how did you get him to come to Tulane?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you're right. Javon picks him up and puts him down good, man. His recruitment, we identified him really early in the process, right when we got here in really December of 23, is kind of the back that we thought we might want in this class that is a freshman class now. And he came in, came to see us a couple times on visits. Ended up originally committing to Duke, and then really right around the same time that Darian Minta ended up going to Duke, we ended up stealing Javon from Duke to come to Tulane. So we don't have trades in college football, but it was basically a trade. And so Javon flipped right before signing day from Duke to us, and he got here mid-year. He came here, graduated high school in December, came here in January. That's what really helped him probably be ahead of the learning curve offensively, is anytime you get a freshman mid-year, it gives him a better chance to have an opportunity to compete for playing time. And Jaden's a big, strong dude. He's got a low center of gravity, yoked up, kind of guy that's easy to tell he's seen the weight room before. And physical, the way he runs the football, he's smart. Really, really smart kid. I think that's probably the most understated thing about him, is he's a highly intelligent kid and runs with a temperament that is a hard tackle.
Coach, one of the things with him, I can see he's got some giddy up in the step.
Yep.
But the way he finishes his runs, I like a running back that finishes his runs strong. And that's one thing.
Yeah.
A lot of times you don't see that with an 18-year-old freshman running back. He does a good job of it.
Yeah, he's going forward. He reminds me a little bit of how Mekhi Hughes ran here last year for us. A two-yard gain was always a 4 or 5-yard gain. And he's always falling forward. Amazing, true freshman, 3 touchdowns. That's happened twice for a running back in Tulane football history. And the other two guys to do it were Matt Forte and Orleans Darkwa, two obviously really good backs that both played in the NFL. And so he joined good company by scoring 3 touchdowns on Saturday, but has had a big time impact on this team already. I'm really excited about what he's doing and think he's only going to get better and better.
Coach, this really was a tale of two halves against Tulsa. The first half, Tulsa was right there in it, 14-14 tie in the second quarter. The Green Wave going a 10-0 run to kind of close out the half. But then I wanted to ask you specifically about the second half defense for Tulane and how they just really slammed the door shut on Tulsa's offense. I'm going to throw some numbers out here. You know, Tulsa had 7 different possessions in the second half, third and fourth quarters, 3 and out, 3 and out, 9-play drive that ended in an interception, 3 and out, 3 and out, 12-play drive, 83 yards, ends up on a turnover on downs. Your defense was just fantastic in the second half, Coach, because if you take out, you know, that 12-play, 83-yard drive, which you hate to do because it happened, but it didn't matter because it ended up being a turnover on downs, 24 plays for 36 yards for a majority of the second half. Your defense just locked down Tulsa and really slammed the door shut.
Yeah, you know, early in the game, they had us a little off balance defensively. They ran a trick play that went for 51 yards, I believe. And then on a short yardage play, they hit us. We had them really probably off the field, and we you know, lost a guy in coverage. We were in great coverage, and then we just lost our eyes and gave up a 72-yard touchdown. There was two plays in the first half that accounted for 123 yards of their total offense. And then really from those, take those two plays out and you look at it and it's like, man, they were averaging a yard a play basically. And so played really good defense in some spots. We got to limit the explosive plays. Those will kill you. They drove me crazy on Saturday. We didn't start very clean, but once we settled in, our guys up front controlled the line of scrimmage. We had a really big day in TFLs and sacks and being in their side of the backfield, their side of the line of scrimmage. Our defensive front really dictated and controlled the flow of the game. And once we settled in defensively, we played really good football.
Coach, I did a national show, and they asked me about what's the one area you see on the Green Wave football team that can really get better. You know, you get a bye week and then throughout the season, I said, I think it's in the pitch and catch part of the game. Got to understand with Ratzlaff not coming here until late. And, you know, you got a lot of moving pieces, and that is a lot to do with timing, the pitch and catch part of the game. Would you agree that that's the one area throughout your football team that you can take it from one level and go to the next with some more time, with some experience, and basically some rapport that maybe you didn't have early in the season?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think that's the area where we could make a big jump, you know, and some of it you have to credit who we've played. You know, I think Ole Miss really covered us up, and I think they've proven to be a pretty good defensive outfit on the back, and they got good players. And early in the year, like the Northwestern game in particular, I really felt like you felt like our timing and just Jake's understanding of maybe how a certain guy's gait was going to control how he ran the route and the tempo of which things were going to happen in the throw game was a little bit off. Week two, it was a little bit better at South Alabama. Week three, I thought we looked really, you know, as clean as we looked all year against Duke, and then go play Ole Miss. And I think they sort of choked us out a little bit, to be quite honest. They didn't give us a whole lot of room, and we didn't handle it well. And then last week, did some good things. So I do think that's an area where we could take a big jump. I hope as we get into conference play full-time, our receivers are able to create more room and separation to make some of those throws a little easier. And I think Jake's going to be more confident in who he's throwing to and how the offense is maybe built to do some things that can make it easier on him. And we got to do a good job of giving him some layups, if you will. You know, I think something we talked about today with our offensive staff is like, hey, if they're playing 9 yards off, it's okay to take a 5-yard hitch and see if they miss a tackle, you know. And so I call them gift throws, like the kind of throws that I could make to the receiver almost. And so we're just trying to figure out how we can continue to grow our throw game. You know, we lost our top 4 receivers off of last year's team in regards to pass catchers. So I like our receiving group. It's deep. I don't know that we have a clear cut, like number one, like I've said multiple times, like Mario from last year, or even a Dante that was the number 2 from last year. But I think we got 7, 8, 9 guys that can go out there and play competent winning football. And we just have to make sure that we're running good routes, protecting, doing throwing passes on time with how we do it.
Coach, this, I guess, was in late May. We had you on, and I told Charlie after we got off, I can tell Coach Summerall likes his defensive line.
Oh, yeah.
And you broke up about
it. Hell yeah, I did. I liked him then. I like him now.
Yeah. And so I told him, man, I could tell by just, you know, your expressions about certain things. And for a three-man front, you're playing eight or nine defensive linemen. So that has really become something you talked about right after the spring that has really come through for you, that defensive front. Not a lot of teams have great depth along the defensive lines. You look across college football, that's a rarity that you're playing eight or nine guys. But on a three-man front, that's a real rarity.
Yeah, I like our defensive front depth. And then when you add in the boundary stand-up guy, that bandit, we call it the bandit in previous lives. I've called it the jack or the dog, but that guy for us, too, has been really impactful with Harvey Dyson and Mo Westmoreland and Jawry Garner, you know, a local product from St. Augustine, getting a lot of reps last week. But that group, man, Santana Hopper was really productive Saturday, four tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks. Harvey Dyson had 2 sacks. I just think that group, well, anytime you can roll guys in and you still have really good players out there and they can go be fresh, man, that's the name of the game up front on the D-line. And I like that group. I think kind of like I was saying a minute ago about us settling in the league play and hopefully being able to create more separation at wide receiver. You know, you hope that when you get into conference play and you got people who maybe have similar resources to you to put rosters together, you hope that your strengths or what you think is your strengths are obvious and glaring and they can take games over. And I feel like our D line is kind of where we've built a good group that should be able to control the game and should be able to affect how people can't run the football and how they can't just drop back and be comfortable or casual in the pocket at quarterback. And so I like where that group's at. We got to keep growing and keep getting better. But I think we're headed in the right direction.
Well, Coach, if you have more games with 6 sacks and 13 tackles for loss, I think that defensive front is going to be having some good performances. I did want to ask you, though, you know, kind of on a more sour note, Dixon Agu, the leading tackler of this 2-lane Green Wave squad, the linebacker goes down with a non-contact injury. I know that you had said post-game that it looked pretty severe, pretty serious there as he was carted off. I want to get, you know, any kind of an update on that. And then also the linebacking core as a whole and what guys can step up in replacement for Dixon if it is as severe as it kind of is worried.
Yeah, Dixon, it is a substantial injury. He's going to be on the shelf for quite a while, having a little procedure done today to get it healed up. But, you know, he's really a good football player and a great young man, and it's a bad deal. You know, he's been playing really good football. You know, in that room, he is going to be out for a lengthy period of time here. And in that room, you know, Sam Howard's obviously kind of the bell cow. He's a big-time leader for us and does everything the right way. And you got Chris Rogers and Makai Williams, who have been playing a significant number of snaps prior to even Dixon going down. And then a couple of guys that we need to step up, and we'll kind of manufacture 2 players for Dixon almost moving forward, is J.C. Joseph. I think you'll see him play more on base downs, first and second down, normal-type situations, a little bit more. And then you'll see Dallas Winter Johnson maybe play some third down package stuff or throw game package stuff. We think it could be a pass. And then Makai Williams will be the guy that probably picks up a lion's share or gets more reps than he's been getting. He's already been playing really good football this year on defense, but also he's been a great special teamer here. And so some other guys got to step up and be ready to just kind of elevate how they're playing, and they're going to get a bigger pitch count of reps. And, you know, thoughts and prayers with Dixon as he recovers, and got to get these guys ready to go that are going to have to fill in for him.
Coach, one last question for you, and this is off script, but we don't have nothing scripted to begin with, so it sort of settles things anyway. Hey, growing up, do you have a favorite baseball team, Major League Baseball team?
Yeah, you know what? I'll probably get blasted over this. But yeah, I love the Yankees growing up. And so I know it sounds, that's a cliche bandwagon answer. Here's the deal. My dad worked for the federal government. My dad worked for the Department of Defense. We're from the South. My mom and dad both grew up in Jackson, Mississippi. I got family, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, East Texas. That's kind of where everybody I'm related to lives. And but my dad worked for Department of Defense for a long time. And prior to me being born back in the 70s, my older brother, who I'm very close with, my parents moved to New York for my dad's job in the Department of Defense. And my brother would go to Yankees games with my dad. This is prior to me even being born. And so when I was born, man, my brother would buy me a Yankees hat every year. And so my brother kind of brainwashed me. And then one of my brother's college roommates ended up playing for the Yankees a little bit. And so we used to go get access to go in the clubhouse and do some things in the clubhouse and back in the day. And so because a buddy of my brother played for the Yankees for a while. And so I'm so daggum busy now. I know the Yankees and the Red Sox play tonight in a wild card.
Yes, they do.
I can assure you this. I'm at the point in life I lose no sleep over a daggum baseball game anymore. I got plenty of my own problems that the Yankees can win or lose. They change how I'm sleeping. Now Tulane winning or losing changes how I sleep. All right, so
that's great,
but
Coach.
I love baseball, and I love very much better than going to a pro baseball game.
It's a fact.
Coach, you could have lived at my house. My grandpa was the biggest Yankees fan, and I think the farthest he ever went in life was Pensacola, Florida. I mean, he never traveled. I mean, he was the biggest Yankees fan. Man, he would talk to you about Babe Ruth and, you know, DiMaggio and all these guys. And then, oh, man, you didn't say anything bad about Mickey. I mean, Seven was the guy. Yep. And so it's so funny how so many people from the South, because of the fact the Yankees had tradition and winning, and then you think in the 70s, Steinbrenner comes in, and they have that run in the late 70s. And we got to see Mr. October and Reggie Jackson and that group. And Ron Guidry, man, how about that?
Louisiana Lightning
from Lafayette in that bunch. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to have you on.
Thank y'all. Appreciate you. Roll wave.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was our Tulane Tuesday segment with Tulane Green Wave head football coach John Summerall. Is brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next day delivery throughout South Louisiana.